Hello, y'all. How are you doing? Yes? All right. You doing okay? Are you sure? All right. You've got fireworks in your head. All right. You got barbecue plans coming up, which is great. And, Gary finally said, hey, Matt, I would love for you to speak. And I'm like, that's great. When do you want me to speak? And he said, how about 4th of July weekend? The most coveted of all the weekends for preachers. I said, okay, Gary, what do you want me to speak on Independence Day weekend? He said, how about you teach them on sin? Great. All right, y'all. So buckle up. All right, get ready. Okay, could be a little intense in here today. I'm not kidding. For those of you that would say that you're not a Christian or that you're just kind of exploring faith, I want to be honest with you that this message today is going to be a little bit more aimed at people who are Christians that have professed their faith. Now, if that is not you, that's okay. It's still really important that you listen to me today and God's word, because what's happening is you get to hear like how God speaks to his kids, all right? So listen, about a year ago, I moved here to Texas. And So I got here to Texas and I learned a bunch of things about Texas, but there's two big things I learned about Texas. Number one, Texas is not the South, okay? I talked to a gentleman when I was moving here and said, you know, my wife Macy and I, she's from Mississippi, I'm from Georgia. And I said, you know, we're just excited to get back down to the South. And a guy goes, Texas isn't the South. And I was like, oh, really? Sorry. Is it like the Southwest or what do you kind of call it around here? He's like, Texas is Texas. Yeah, there's lots of claps. There we go. And I said, okay, so sorry. I'm so sorry. Then another thing that I learned about Texas is that the rumors about the heat are true. Last summer, I barely survived, y'all. And I had several of you coming to me saying like, oh, well, this was just a mild summer. I'm like, thanks for the encouragement. And then all of a sudden I get to this summer and find out, all right, this one's the real deal. I think I looked on my phone today and it was like a million days of 100 plus from now on, which is intense, right? So I kind of had to learn how to sort of live here differently and dress differently and, you know, all kinds of stuff just to be a little bit cooler. My wife and I moved into a home, and we were excited to move into that home. Honestly, I am the kind of guy that doesn't do a lot of work around the house. But some of the guys on the executive team started pressuring me to be a real man and do lawn work, okay? And like get your yard going, all right? You need to fertilize, you need to weed kill, you know, you need to do all this stuff. So I'm like, okay, let me sort of look into this. We got a new environment here. Let me see how they do it here in Texas. I'm like researching all over the place. You know, I'm watching YouTube videos, I'm reading articles, and I start buying stuff that I'm hoping is right. Okay, I start making some mistakes at the beginning. I forgot to put pre-emergent down, and so all this crabgrass came. Some of you, I'm losing you already. Others of you, you're like leaning in, like, yeah, this is my thing. So I started doing it, and actually, it was getting better. I was feeling a little bit better about this. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, I'm in my front lawn, and I had sort of like a weed killer spray, and I'm spraying, you know, some of the weeds that are around, and this lady pulls up behind me in this big SUV, and she rolls her window down, and she tells me what every middle-aged man wants to hear. I love your grass. I'm like, grass? Wait, what? Oh, whoa, yes, you know my grass? That's really great. I love that. Yeah, I'm doing a really good job of that. And I think it's getting a little better, okay? Like, we're really working hard on this and seeing how it goes. And she said, yeah, it's just looking so much better. You know, like, your landscaping, you guys have really done a lot. Like, before you moved in here, y'all's house was the worst of the neighborhood. And it was awful looking. But you've really done a great job. Just thank you so much, you know, for helping the neighborhood and getting your house a little bit better. I'm like, great. I'm feeling really good about myself. Okay, I barge into our house to tell my wife Macy about this compliment this lady just gave me. And before I said anything, Macy's like, hey, I saw you, spraying the weeds and stuff. I'm like, yeah. She says, well, actually, there was a guy who was walking his dog the other day, and I saw him, and he said, he complimented us on our lawn and talked about how great our landscaping was and stuff. I'm like, he did? Like, that is so great. I'm so happy about that. That's awesome. She's like, yeah, he's talking about how it's better for the neighborhood and everything. I'm like, Macy, we are neighborhood heroes, okay? Like, this is, we're high-fiving each other. We're so proud of what we've done. I mean, I know that it's a little bit ridiculous, but I mean, it is kind of true. Like, I was feeling really good about this. And when I was researching all of these like lawn care techniques, I found out that there are a lot of opinions on how to do it, right? There's a lot of videos, a lot of articles on when to do it, how to do it, you know, what type of product, how much to put in there. And it was kind of overwhelming. Okay, but let's be honest. There's a lot of opinions everywhere, right? We live in a world that is full of opinions. All right, and the book of 1 John has a people group in there that know this all too well. All right, so the people in there are Christians that he's talking to, but there's other people groups in there that are just talking about all kinds of different random things of Christianity. Remember, John's speaking to Christians who are struggling with a different group of people. Right? And these different group of people, what's happening is they're calling themselves Christians, but they're actually trying to alter the way that we look at sin. All right, they look at it differently. They have a different opinion about sin. What they're practicing is what modern scholars would call Gnosticism. Okay, and if you're unfamiliar with Gnosticism, there's a lot with Gnosticism, but let me just give you a couple of quick things. One thing that they believed at that time is they believed that our body and our spirit were separate. Okay, so they're like, you know, our spirit is good and our body is bad. All right, in fact, our body and all material things, everything in the world is just evil and it's just filthy and bad. In fact, they were also separating Jesus. Okay, we believe that Jesus was fully God and fully man, but they were saying there's Jesus the Christ, his spirit, and then there's the body, Jesus, you know, and that just what didn't really mix that well. And whenever he died, he just his spirit ascended and that was it. And they got so intense with this, the Gnostics did, that what they were talking about is that, you know what? Because it's your body that sins, it's actually okay that you sin. It's actually no big deal that you sin because it's your body that's doing it. All right, so anytime you sin, it's like, oh, whatever, it's not my spirit, it's my body. I don't have to worry about that. So in fact, you can sin all that you want to. And unfortunately, they were making a pretty compelling argument to the Christians in the day. And they were kind of wondering, like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, what's actually true from this? And so that's why John is, you know, writing this to them. All right, in fact, let's reread a couple of the verses from this passage that address these questions. All right, now, I want to be honest with you. It's a little bit troubling when you first read this. All right, especially for those of us that are Christians, because it seems to imply something. All right, let's start with verse 6. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. Okay, this is a bit troubling. Okay, is this trying to say that, you know, once you start dedicating your life to Jesus and you're following him, that you will not sin? And that if you keep sinning after you've done that, that you're not actually a Christian? I'll be honest, when I first read this, I was a bit confused and concerned and like, what does this mean? Because honestly, I'm a follower of Jesus, but unfortunately, I still sin. And how do I reconcile that? Y'all, just last week, okay, my wife Macy got mad at me, all right? She got mad at me and she didn't tell me why she was mad at me. And so then I got mad at her, right? And I'm like, okay, great. You're mad at me because you're not telling me what you're mad at me about. I'm gonna be mad at you and not tell you what I'm mad about. Really mature, right? And so I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna do this and just wait until she, you know, comes back to me and talks to me and just asks me like, hey, why are you mad? What's going on? You know, I'm just gonna wait. Well, I waited 2 days, y'all. And she just was like holding strong, you know. And so I finally broke and I'm like, hey, did you know that I was mad at you? And she's like, yeah, kind of, you know. And I'm like, what was I doing? Like, why did I do that? It was really silly, right? And kind of ridiculous. I know that. It doesn't exactly sound like I was exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit, did it? Right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Like, that wasn't me in that moment. Okay, I wasn't doing that at all. In fact, I was lashing out at her, right? I was doing a little bit more of an eye for eye in the moment, not quite a turning of the cheek. I was sinning. My behavior wasn't right with God. So according to 1 John chapter 3, does that mean that I'm not even really a Christian? Okay, let's maybe just look at a different translation, right? We were in the NIV. Let's look at a different translation. Sometimes that helps things. Well, let's look at the ESV. All right, verse 6. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Not super helpful, right? Still a little more of the same. All right, what if we take it a little more old school, or maybe like old school, new school? Let's do the New King James Version. Here we go. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. That's a little worse. It's getting a little bit more intense. Okay, all right. Let's try one more. All right, this one time we're going to be in the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. Many scholars will say that this is the most literal translation between the Greek and the Hebrew and the English, okay? So, like, if we really want to know what the text says, like, let's get into this one when we're studying it. It's kind of confusing. So let's read it. Verse 6, here we go. No one who remains in him sins continually. No one who sins continually has seen him or knows him. Okay, all right. We're getting a little bit better here. Okay, I kind of like that word, continually. It makes me feel a little better, right? Because I'm not just, you know, sometimes I'll sin occasionally, but it's not like I sin continually over and over and over again, right? I feel a little bit better. Except if you study the NASB, anytime you see an italicized word, put that scripture back up there. Anytime you see that italicized word, see that how continually is italicized? What that means is that they added that word in there. Okay, so what's in the Greek is sins, and they added continually. Okay, now we're back to square one, because if we take away continually, it says, no one who remains in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. This is not easy stuff, right? Some of these scriptures seem to be confusing. And what are we supposed to do with this? In fact, how do we reconcile this with other verses of scripture that we see in the Bible? Especially even in this very own book. All right, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Gary preached on this the very first week of this series. And here's what it says. It says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, this whole book is written to Christians. Okay, so how does it work that God says at the beginning to Christians, you know, like, hey, if you say that you don't have sin, you know, you are deceiving yourself and you're not truthful. But then a little bit later, a couple of chapters later, he's like, hey, if you sin, you're not even a part of me, right? You're not one of my children. You're not born of God. Well, I actually think the New American Standard Bible is, in my opinion, the most accurate translation of this verse, including the word continually, okay? For those of you who are grammar geeks out there, 1 John chapter 3, 4 through 10 uses present tense participles and infinitives. All right, the Greek word sins, hamartinai, has the force of a continuous present tense and which represents a person's habitual attitude towards sin, not a one-time sin or an occasional sin that's followed with repentance. Whew, okay? All right, it makes me feel a little bit better. Maybe it makes you feel a little bit better. But should it? Like, should that make us feel better? The thing is, I think if we read this text and let ourselves off the hook because we're thinking, it's all good, I only sin occasionally, not continually, then we're actually missing the point here. You see, John is telling the confused and disoriented Christians in that region that the one major outward thing that distinguishes us from non-Christians or people who are trying to distort Christianity is what we do. How do we choose to refrain from sin and focus on righteousness? It's extremely important. Yes, there is grace, but it's also important that we obey. Listen to 1 John 3, 4, 7, 8, 9. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, but the one who practices sin is of the devil. No one who has been born of God practices sin. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. The Lord is being really clear here. Sin is a very big deal to him. All right, so I want you to take a breath right now. It's all good. Okay, it's okay. But I do have some questions for us. What are you practicing? When the world looks at you, is it obvious that you're making a practice of being right with God? Or are there some areas in your life that might look like you're practicing something else? All right, so I took up playing golf recently, right? So I've played golf like a little bit off and on, you know, throughout my life. But like, I don't know, like I moved to Texas. It's like everybody's playing golf around here. And so I'm like, all right, let me start playing golf and just kind of get into it. Okay, and here's the deal. It's pretty obvious when someone is trying to practice golf versus when they're just kind of messing around. Okay, like I'm committed to this thing. All right, I'm playing like once a week, you know, hitting balls or on the course or something like that. Like I'm really giving it a go. And they paired me up with a guy a couple of weeks ago who literally walked on the very first tee with just some flip-flops on. All right, so he's like flip-flops on the first tee. He gets up there, starts shanking the ball left and right all over the place. All right, he's drinking beer, making tons of jokes. This guy is just messing around. All right, he's not like legit doing this thing. Okay, and I have been like that before, right? Like I used to mess around a lot and just kind of like, you know, play golf a little bit. You know, like I wouldn't exactly take my score seriously. Most of the time I wouldn't keep score, because I felt like if I don't keep score, I'm going to have more fun. But also, if I ever did keep score, it wasn't exactly accurate, okay? I would put down a bogey when there was really a triple bogey into the water. I mean, we don't always do things so intently, but it is obvious when we do or not, right? In those moments, I wasn't really practicing golf. I was just messing around, but I've started trying to do it more today. And some of us, in our relationship with God, instead of practicing as much, we're just kind of messing around. And it's getting close to looking like we're not practicing righteousness in some of those areas of our life. Maybe we've been deceived by the world, lured into what the world wants rather than what God wants. Okay, I'm not just talking about some of us who've messed up a lot, but even those of us that have messed up a little. You know, and you've got these certain things that are just tough in your life to get over. Are you practicing righteousness in all aspects of your life and not just in some or most of them? Okay, God cares about all sin. What we can clearly take from this passage is that God is very serious about it. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want us to do it at all. All right, but there is some good news here, okay? Part of what is really good about this is what God is even doing in the moment, right? God is not trying to just sort of point the finger at us and, you know, shake his hand and say, you just need to obey just for obedience' sake. Okay, I do think that he wants us to obey, but it's important for us to know why he wants us to obey. In fact, if we look at verse 7, we can see how tender he is with us. I know these are intense verses, but he could be really tender with us. Listen to verse 7. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Look at that, y'all. Little children, he says tenderly. When you read this passage and you see how intense God is about sin, don't just focus on what he's saying, but focus on how he is addressing us, right? When we sin, ultimately what we're doing is we're just distancing ourselves from him, right? If all God is perfection, he's good, and anything that is not God is sin, that's us kind of like turning our back or distancing ourselves from him. So when God is pleading with us for obedience, what he's pleading for is that we turn around and come towards him. He's pleading for us to have a relationship with him. Okay, he wants a deep relationship with us. All right, he understands that rules without relationship equals rebellion. Okay, it's not just about the rules. It's not just about the relationship. It's about both. He wants both. He wants a deep relationship with us, so he's addressing us as his family. Look at 1 John 3, 1 and 2. See how great a love the Father has given us, that we would be called children of God. And in fact, we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. As the world is trying to deceive us into other directions, God is reminding us of who we are, what family we belong in. I think many of you, like me, got one of those Amber Alerts this morning. Did you guys get that on your phone? And it just started buzzing a lot and everything. Every time I get one of those, my heart starts to break a little bit. But I'm also trying to pray for those victims and whatever's going on there. You know that experts have said that, you know, when a child gets abducted or kidnapped, and in the unfortunate cases, when it's happened for a really long time, sometimes that child can start to bond with the kidnapper. They can bond with the enemy. And in the fortunate times where that child gets found and brought back home with their family, sometimes what happens is that they have a hard time reconnecting with their real family. And they still have this connection with the kidnapper, and then PTSD comes into play, and it's just this weird, crazy, difficult thing. You see, we are children of God that the world is trying to kidnap. Okay, and trying to bring us in and tell us all of these lies and these awful things that we should be doing. And sometimes when we get back to the Father, it feels distorted and we're like, wait, what? What are you saying, God? I mean, I read this in Scripture, but are you sure that that's your truth? It doesn't feel like that should be the truth because the rest of the world says that it's not that truth. But God is trying to tell us in that moment, like, no, listen, remember who you are. Remember who your family is, what family you are a part of. We all need to be reminded of that today. But there's also some of you in here that you've never been a child of God. You've never fully embraced Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want you to imagine your life as your home, okay? And your lawn and landscaping and stuff like that, all the weeds that are in that are just like your sin. And if you've never fully accepted Jesus into your life, that's like asking Jesus to be the owner of your home. Saying, come on in, take over, clear out the weeds. Beautify your creation. If that's you, then I want you to know this. There is a kingdom with a real king, and his name is Jesus. He laid down his life for us and conquered the grave. If we repent, believe, and follow him, we can be a part of this kingdom. For the rest of us in here, we need to be reminded that God is our Father. That he wants us to be a part of his family. Remind us of who we are. And that sin is not what he wants us to do. He doesn't want us to practice a lifestyle of sin in any area of our life. He wants us to practice righteousness. He wants us to repent and turn to him. And listen, when you think of repentance, I don't want you to think of repentance in this like hyper shameful way where you just put your head down and you're sulking and then God the Father is just, you know, pointing his finger at you like a dictator telling you what you did wrong and shaming you. That's not what it's like. That's not what repentance is. When you think of repentance, I want you to think of the prodigal son who got back to the father's house. And the father just ran towards the son with open arms, wanting to embrace him. Repentance is a great thing. It's a relationship building thing. And it's time for some of us today to be like, you know what? There's some ways that it looks like I may not be practicing righteousness in my life. I just need to shake that stuff off. A couple weeks ago, I taught in Agape Life Group, which is one of the, it's kind of this most senior level life group that we have. Many of the people in that life group have been attending this church for, you know, like 50 years or so. And Dorcio Vanderslice asked me a question about our youth ministry and kids ministry. And she just said, you know, do you guys ever have them just practice silence and being still so that they can sort of hear God more than, you know, what's going on in the world? And I said, you know, we do that some, like with camps and things like that. We do it other times throughout the year, but honestly, we could do it. We need to do it more. That's a good word. And I walked away from that just feeling like, okay, I first need to do this in my own life, right? I need to stop listening to all the outside stuff and make sure that I'm being still so that I can hear the voice of the Father. And we started doing that some with our staff a little bit more. And I want us to do it right now. I want to give you some space right now to do some work with the Father. For some of you, that's asking him to be the owner of your home for the very first time. And for others of you, it's a turn of repentance. So will you close your eyes and bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Even when it's difficult to read or hear. Father, there are some people in this room this morning who have never asked you into their life and to dedicate their life to you. And if there's anybody in this room that wants to do that right now, I just want you to pray a prayer like this to God. Just say, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for creating me. And thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sins. I want to apologize for the bad things I've done. I want to ask forgiveness. And I want to repent and follow you for the rest of my life. Father, there's others of us in here that have some form of repentance that we need to do right now. And God, will you help us to turn to you so that you can run towards us? And Father, we just want to be silent right now with you. Fresh ears, you can keep your head bowed and eyes closed, and just let me, I want to read this passage of scripture back over us. 1 John 3, 1 through 10. See how great a love the Father has given us, that we would be called children of God. And in fact, we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope set on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who sins remains in him sins continually. No one who sins continually has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who has been born of God practices sin, because his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin continually, because he has been born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother or sister. Amen. Can we clap for people who gave their life to Jesus for the very first time today? The very end of that verse that says, who does not love his brother and sister, Pastor Brian is going to come next week and talk a lot about that. So we look forward to seeing you next week. Remember to come visit us in the Next Step room right back there. If you got prayer or questions, or maybe you want to talk about anything with faith, maybe you're new. Also remember there's offering boxes in the back, or you can do it online. And happy 4th of July, everybody. Have a great day.